Hey, good morning. Thank you, Justin, for the scripture reading. Good to see everyone. Thank you for opening your homes to each other so that we can worship together. It's good to see so many of you. I don't see the webcams for the youth group kids on, but it is good to have you with us. And we're glad to be able to worship together again. We're getting a lot of snow everywhere, I think. And hopefully this is one of the ways we can continue to stay safe. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're looking at the topic of love again. About 2 months ago, my family, we sat down and we rewatched classic movie, The Princess Bride. And my kids relayed something that kind of made me feel a deep sadness. They all told us, my wife and I, they told us that they actually didn't really like the movie. And, you know, we were devastated by that because such a wonderful, such a great movie. Matter of fact, according to the movie itself, if you remember, the grandfather calls the story essentially the greatest love story ever told. And it's just, you know, it's just this quirky, cute little reminder of how important love is in our society. There's a great line in there that Wesley says to Buttercup that this actually turns out to be deeply true in a spiritual way, but he talks about love and he says, death cannot stop true love. You know, he says, all it can do is delay it for a while. And that's a very, very powerful sentiment. We see that love is a high ideal for our society. You know, we hear it in movies. We see it in TV shows. It comes up in music constantly. You know, we're bombarded with this notion of love, but it's different than what Paul presents here. It's different than what the scriptures kind of present. And that's really what we've been trying to address through this particular, these particular sermons through 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, we started looking at 1 Corinthians 13 last week, and last week, Paul starts out with this description of love by talking about the absence of love. And essentially what he's doing is he's giving the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, he's giving them a picture of what it looks like to be greatly gifted, to be greatly skilled, and yet not do things out of love or with love. And it's basically a picture of what Paul was hearing and Paul was seeing about this particular church, that they were a church that was, they were full of ambition. There was competition. There was jealousy. There was arrogance. There was self-centeredness. There was very little love. And his message to them was essentially a rebuke. It was a reminder that there is something greater than giftings and abilities. It's love. And, you know, as mushy as that sounds, you know, as much as we've heard this passage read at weddings and places like that, 1 Corinthians is actually very, very pointed. It's directed at the exact issues that the Corinthian church is experiencing. And when they read it, when they heard it, it rebuked them. It was humbling. It was painful. My guess is that first time they received the letter, they were excited. They started hearing it. They were humbled. Some of them might have been upset. My guess is no one in the church heard it that first time and said, you know what, this would make a great passage for my wedding. You know, that's not really the experience they had. And, you know, for us, it's important for us to hear it this way, too. You know, that Paul isn't simply waxing poetic about this ideal of love, this generic notion of true love or these types of things. He's speaking about love, biblical Christian love, in a way that is meant to challenge, in a way that's meant to rebuke, in a way that's meant to change us. And so that's really the way we want to take it. We want to take it not as some kind of picture of idealism, this goal that we're trying to attain, but hopefully we can look at it and allow it to rebuke us, allow it to challenge us, allow it to change us, hopefully. And so today, as we look at this middle section, 1 Corinthians 13, as we look at this idea of love, We're going to ask a couple questions, or we're going to look at a couple of issues. I think the first thing we're going to see is when it comes to Christian love, we're first going to see what it is, right? I mean, that's one of the big things we have to ask is what is it? Second thing we're going to see is how it strengthens us, how this biblical notion of love gives us strength. And then the third thing is we're going to see how this notion of love, Christian love, how it protects. So we're going to see what it is. We're going to see how it strengthens. And then we'll see how it protects. Okay, those three things. So the first thing that we see is we first see what it is. This is where Paul actually gets to some semblance of a definition. It's not really a definition. It's more of an explanation. It's more of a picture, a word picture. And Paul starts out this way. I'll just read verse 4. He says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." And we'll kind of stop there for our use for this first part. But essentially what we see is not just these verses, but the entire chapter is an explanation. It's a definition. It's a word picture of what Christian love is. And like I said, this idea that Paul is giving is slightly different than the society's view of love, whether it's ancient society or whether it's modern society. Paul is presenting a different way to understand this thing that we call love. He doesn't give a concise definition, but he does give us some ways in which we're to think about it, ways we're to understand it. And those are the things that I want to look at in this first point. There's a couple of different ways that we should understand it. I think the first thing that we see through 1 Corinthians 13 is we see that Paul's notion of love is rooted in Jesus Christ. And that's not something that's explicit, but essentially all of the commentators agree, you know, that there's something unique about what Paul is teaching here in 1 Corinthians 13. And what they all agree on is that this love that he's talking about is different than the way that the society at the time viewed love. If you look into the ancient Near East, Roman, Greek culture, Jewish culture, love was the highest value, but love was basically understood as unconditional love. And it was unconditional love that was specifically towards people that you love, you were supposed to love. So when you talked about this high ideal of love, it was the unconditional love of a parent for a child. It was the unconditional love of one spouse to another spouse. It's the unconditional love of a child to a parent. The unconditional love that could be seen, you know, through these relationships. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when Jesus talks about love, he makes the mention. He says, "It's fine. You love the people who love you. You love the people who you're supposed to love." But then he goes a step further and he says, "Love your enemies." And so we see that there's something vastly different about a Christian conception of love compared to, you know, a common societal value at the time. You know, in the ancient Near East, it was about loving people you were supposed to love and loving them well, loving them unconditionally. And with Christians, with Paul, all of that begins to shift and change. Now, with Paul and with Christians, they began to think about love as the quality that we see on the cross. And that's very different, right? You know, it meant that this love that Paul is talking about is rooted directly in something real, in Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a high ideal. But in rooting it in the cross, it means that Christian love also has a power. It also has a strength. It also has a motivation behind it. It's not just a high ideal that we imagine and that we shoot for. There's also a power in that ideal. There's also a motivation because it's rooted in the cross. And so that's one of the first things that we see when it comes to how we're to understand this idea of love. I think the second thing that comes out, or another thing that comes out through this, is if you notice in the definition or in the way Paul's describing it, he uses verbs. You know, he doesn't use adjectives to describe it. He uses verbs. And basically, I think what Paul is trying to get across is that love is defined by action, by doing. And that's a very, very important thing, because I think in a lot of societies, love is defined in a way that's passive. Right? Love is something that happens to you. Love is something that gets a hold of you. You know, love is about emotions. It's about feelings. And what Paul says is he says that love exists on this different plane. You know, he talks about love not as feelings or emotions or responsibilities or this passive thing that takes place that catches your attention, that draws your heart in. Paul's definition is rooted in actions and attitudes. He says love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. And what he's doing is he's using verbs to describe it, that love is doing. You know, that it's more than emotions, it's more than motivations, that if you're a loving person, you will act in a loving way. If you're a loving person, you will behave in a particular way towards other people. And essentially, he's showing us that however we want to define Christian love, we have to understand that it is a love that requires doing. That it simply isn't this feeling, this warm feeling that you have about someone else or about another group. You know, that being a loving person is doing. It's acting. It's taking a certain attitudinal approach to people, to life, to situations. I think the other thing that we see in Paul defining it is not only is it rooted in Jesus Christ, not only is it defined by actions, we also see that it's something, when Paul is talking about it, he's trying to tell us that it's something that has to be developed. Now, Paul uses the present tense all through this in the Greek, and the way he speaks about it is he uses the present tense in a way that emphasizes that these things are continuous. So he's not just saying love acts in one situation with patience. Love acts in a certain situation with kindness. What he's saying love is patient and it is always patient. Love is kind and it's kind to different people at all these different times. And essentially, he's saying that these actions that he is describing as love are things that are habitual. They're things that are practiced. They're things that become ingrained in us through regular repetition. And that's important too. You know, love is this character quality that must be developed. And yeah, that's important to say, because sometimes it is hard to love. It is hard to exercise love. You know, love isn't automatic. It's not instantaneous. So that once you become a Christian, then all of a sudden you become a loving person. Or once you see who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you automatically start turning to people and you're kind and you're nice to them. The truth is that it's hard and it does take work. If love is just an interior thing, if it's just a feeling, then it is instantaneous. You become a Christian and you can look at people instantaneously. You can feel compassion for them. You can feel love for them. But Paul is talking about something else. He's talking about action. He's talking about the ways we treat people. And what he's saying is that those things aren't things that simply pop up or that we use with some people or we use sporadically here and there. He's saying that being a loving person, being characterized by love, means that it's something that comes out regularly and constantly, you know, in multiple situations to everyone we meet. And then that takes time. You know, the picture that he's giving us of Christian love is a love that is developed over a long period of time. You know, that work is put into loving people, that work is put into, that is required to learn how to treat people well. But once we do, once we work on that, it becomes this long-lasting quality. It becomes characteristic of how we deal with everyone in every situation. And so we see really quickly, you know, as Paul begins to talk about what love is, it looks very, very different right from the outset, right? It's rooted in Jesus Christ, and that means a whole bunch of different things. It's described and it's defined by action, not by simple feelings. And it's something that is developed. It's not something that happens instantaneous. It's something that is worked on. It's a quality that comes through thoughtfulness, through effort, through repetition, through trusting and feasting on the love that we find in Jesus Christ. So that's really the first thing we see. We see Paul explain it, and the picture that we get is very, very different, I think, than what most of us are used to. I think the second thing that Paul brings up is how love strengthens us. And this is, it takes a little bit of kind of working through this passage to figure out that Paul is doing this. But, you know, in a lot of ways, one of the temptations we have when we look at a passage like this is we read it, you know, patience, kindness, doesn't envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, doesn't insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, is we tend to take those things and we tend to soften them up. We tend to see love as this nicety, right? This culture, this softness towards people. And what Paul is actually explaining is that love is actually something that doesn't soften us. It's something that strengthens us. It's not something that makes us softer towards other people, softer towards difficult people, softer towards life and towards living. He actually describes it the exact opposite way. And he says that what love does and what love does is love strengthens us. It makes us strong. And in a really specific way, you know, what he does is he says that when we look at love, love is the thing that helps us deal with darkness. And he lists two very specific darknesses here. First, he talks about the darkness that we see in ourselves, and then he talks about the darkness we see in others. And all this comes out through this negative, you know, he goes from positive love is patient, love is kind, to turning into the negative. He says, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So if you listen to that, again, you know, you see this shift. He says, love does not envy, it is or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Now, if you take those couple things that he brings right there, envy, boast, arrogant, rude, what he's talking about is he's talking about the fact that love strengthens us to face the darkness inside of us. You know, he's saying, Paul is using this negation, and what he's saying is that love isn't just this positive, it isn't these positive qualities that we simply look out and say, I should be patient, I should be kind. Paul says that what Christian love does is it helps us, it causes us, it forces us to recognize the things in us that are alien to love, the things aren't loving, right? He takes the things that aren't loving and he says, love is not those things. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. And immediately the power of saying it that way and doing it that way is it draws our attention to the fact that those things are inside of. And you see what's happening is Paul is showing us that Christian love in a very unique way actually helps us to see the darkness, the sin that's inside of us. And, you know, the normal love doesn't function that way. You know, if we want to talk about the common kind of cultural view of love, the way we deal with that kind of love is we use it comparatively. You know, we see the things that we're doing positively, we compare it to other people, and we make judgments on whether we think we are doing a better job or a worse job of loving people or not. You know, what Paul does is he says, the love that he's talking about is if it's deeply connected to Jesus Christ, then whenever we look at it, it reveals my darkness, it reveals my sin. Right? It's one thing to say love is patient, love is kind. It gives us something to aspire to. But the minute he says it does not envy, it makes us ask the question, is envy inside of me? Because if it is, love isn't that. You know, the minute he says it is not arrogant, we're forced to ask whether we're arrogant, whether we have an arrogance inside of us. You know, all of this is important because for the church, for the Corinthian church that heard this, Paul wrote this and it revealed their darkness. It specifically revealed the things that they were struggling with. They did struggle very, very concretely with envy and boasting. I mean, that was part of the argument, this whole issue going on about spiritual gifts. Same thing with being arrogant and being rude. I mean, they were essentially creating a hierarchy within the church based on giftedness. And if you were high up on the list, you look down and you snub your nose at the people who are at the bottom. If you're at the bottom, you looked up and you resented them. And you know, all the descriptors that he's using and the way that he brings it out is he wants the church to see, he wants this church to see that all those things that are inside of them are not love. And you know, love has this incredible power to do that in a way that cultural love cannot. Christian love opens our eyes and it shows us what love is not. And, you know, it gives us the courage to do that because it's rooted in Jesus Christ. And because it's rooted in Jesus Christ, there's an understanding that in Christ, we do have forgiveness. We do have grace. And so it opens us up to not be afraid to see the darkness in us, to not be afraid to deal with the sin that we see within us. And, you know, that's a very, very important part of love. Love isn't just looking at other people saying, how should I act? Christian love has this deeply inward referential sense in which Christ's love makes us look inside and say, where's my darkness? Why am I not living this way? You know, it causes us to see our envy and our boasting, our arrogance and our rudeness. You know, the other thing that love strengthens us to, and it does take strength. It takes strength that only the gospel can build in us to actually see the darkness inside of us, to call it darkness, to wrestle with the darkness that's inside of us. The other thing that it does is it strengthens us to the darkness in other people. If you listen to 5b, the second half of verse 5, he says, it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And again, he's using the negative here to point out, you know, that these are things that are going on. But if you notice in this set of qualifications, this set of descriptions, they're all relational, right? He says, it does not insist on its own way. Well, in order to be in a situation where, you know, you might insist on your own way or you might not insist on your own way, it's because there's a relational conflict. Someone else is insisting on their own way, right? It says, it is not irritable or resentful. I mean, that's a description of a personal interaction or a relationship. It says, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. This is the one that's the most painful for me. I mean, I can tell you out of all these things that are listed here, I mean, one of the things that I personally struggle with a lot when it comes to loving is rejoicing at wrongdoing. You know, when someone's on my bad side, when there's someone in my life that I don't like, that I really struggle with loving, that I don't love, I enjoy it when they suffer, right? I enjoy when things happen to them. I feel like it's justified. I mean, there's been, and this doesn't happen all the time, but I've had a few situations in my life where, you know, I've had someone in my life that is really that I really haven't liked, someone who's wronged me, someone who in my mind has sinned against me in a very purposeful way. And I've enjoyed them getting their comeuppance. You know, I've enjoyed, you know, them having difficulty. I've enjoyed the times where their sin has affected them in negative ways too. And you see, that's what Paul is talking about. He shifts away from seeing the darkness inside of us. He shifts away from saying that love gives us strength to deal with the darkness inside of us. And he says, love also gives you the strength to deal with the darkness inside of other people. In other words, you know, when other people come along and they annoy you, they provoke you, they sin against you, Christian love gives you the strength to not be shattered by that, to not be drawn into resentfulness, to not be drawn into bitterness, into hatred, into anger. Christian love in a very unique way lets you deal with the darkness that is in other people as they provoke, as they sin, as they hurt you. to turn back to them and to love. And that's important because, you know, because we feel justified in not loving them. We feel justified in being angry, in harboring bitterness, in hating people. You know, we find justification because, after all, I mean, they're, look what they're doing. Sometimes we even pray against them. And you see, this is one of the things that is a major difference between what the culture at this time and even now believed and what Paul is talking about. You know, in the ancient Near East, again, in Greek and Roman culture and Jewish culture at the time, it was completely justified not to love someone who was hurting you, completely justified to treat them poorly. Love was for the people that you loved. Unconditional love was for the people who deserved it, the people who earned it, the people who you should love, your family, your friends, the people who are close to you, people who do loving things for you, your loved ones. And what Paul does is he says, no, love is much more than that. Love is what we see on the cross. And at the cross, Jesus didn't show unconditional love just to people who loved him. He loved those who were hurting him. He loved those who were sinning against him. He loved us when our hearts were driven in hatred towards him. And on the cross, Jesus loved even his enemies. And what we see here that Paul is saying is that it's that love that gives us the strength. It gives us the strength to deal with the darkness that we experience and that's in other people. When they provoke us, when they annoy us, when they sin against us, when they purposefully or accidentally hurt us. Christian love is the thing that gives us the strength to handle it. Where we aren't going to hold on to hatred, where we're not going to rejoice at their wrongdoing when they suffer. When we're not going to say when they're going through a difficulty, God, get them, and laugh about it. You know, it's Christian love that helps us deal with the darkness that we experience that comes from other people, where their darkness comes out and spills into our lives. You know, it's this rooting in who Christ is and what he's done for us that gives us the strength to withstand all of that and to continue to love. And like I said, I have a long way to go. I think for all of us, we have a long way to go about that. I was thinking about, you know, like I said, I was thinking about people that in the past, I did rejoice. I rejoiced, you know, when they suffered. I think for some people, it might not be the private, quiet, like clap your hands, rejoice and smile and be glad. That sometimes it's through things like gossip that we rejoice in at wrongdoing, that we rejoice when people who've hurt us, people who've sinned against us, are tasting their own medicine. But you see, it's Christian love that gives us the strength to withstand that and to turn in love. And that's something that's very, very unique. I think the third thing that Paul addresses here at the end, he talks about love, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, and enduring all things. I think the last thing that we see through that verse, verse 7, is that he's showing us that love doesn't just strengthen us, it protects us. That Christian love, in a very unique way, doesn't just strengthen us to deal with our darkness and the darkness that we see in other people. It also protects us against a whole host of things that go on. If you go through verse 7 again, you know, if you want to emphasize it, Paul uses the word all four different times. And what he's doing is he's showing that Christian love, in a very unique way, becomes this protective barrier or this protection against not just, you know, relational things that go on in our lives, but a lot of other things that go on in our lives. He says, love bears all things. Right? He says, love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, the question we have to ask is, what are these all things that he's talking about? You know, he keeps saying it bears all things, believe, like what's all this stuff that he's talking about? Like I said, he's talking about more than just, you know, my personal sin issues. He's talking about more than just the relationships where people sin against me, because he's talked about those before. He widens out. And essentially, when he uses this kind of all things descriptor, he's talking about the fact that there are a lot of other things that happen to us in life. You know, that there are, that essentially, you know, we go through life and we experience suffering, we experience loss, we experience difficulty, we experience tragedy, we experience heartbreak, you know, a whole host of things. And again, some of them are not issues of sin necessarily. A lot of it is the fact that we just live in a broken world. But regardless of what it is, he says that the Christian love, in a very unique way, it allows us to deal with not just ourselves and with people, but with everything in life. You know, it helps us to deal with all of the different things that can take place in life, good, bad, ugly, all the rest, and yet still bear whatever problems come, still believe in the best, still hope, you know, for a final redemption, for things to be made right, to endure the sorrows and the sadness that we can experience. And, you know, it shows us how deep Christian love really does go. It goes, you know, buries itself deep into our soul, you know, the very, very deepest recesses of our hearts. And because of that, it becomes the thing that protects us to deal with whatever life throws at us, whatever Satan can send our way, whatever the brokenness of the world we experience, whatever people can do to us. And it's a reminder that no matter how hard things get, it's love that gives us hope and endurance. It's love that helps us to hang on. And, you know, there are a lot of terrible things we can experience. Life can be really horrific. I think for most of us, we would say comparatively to most people in the world, we have it relatively easy. But life isn't easy. It is, even having not experienced what some other people regularly experience, life is full of heartbreak. It's full of suffering. It's full of tragedy. And there are points in all of our lives where we feel like we can't handle anymore. Where we say in our hearts, or we say in prayer, we say, "How long, O Lord?" Where we say, "Why is this happening, Lord?" Where we feel like we're on the verge of giving up. And you know, what's really unique to me when I look at what Paul is saying here is, if it's true that love is our protection, then what he's talking about is more than I understand, because he's saying that love is more than a command. It's more than something that God says, "Hey, you should do this for other people." Right? He's not saying that love is this command to be nice to people, to smile. You know, what he's saying is that, and this goes back to what we said at the very beginning, is Christian love is the love that is seen at the cross. And that's a love that penetrates our soul. That's a love that drills down, that can reshape us, that can renew us, that can reorient every relationship in our lives. That's the love that can keep us steady against the winds of suffering and tragedy. Now, there's a story that I read last night about a man who had sailed his boat to the Caribbean, and he ended up having to essentially kind of crash land on a small island because storm had come and began blowing his ship all over the place. Small boat. Wasn't a professional sailor, so he ended up kind of crash landing on this island, And he just realized he wasn't going to be able to make it through the storm. The winds were picking up. They're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. There was very little shelter he could find on the island. And so what he did was he found the biggest, strongest tree he could find. He had to crawl to it. There was wind whipping in his face. The sand was being kicked up. It was so strong that he said he couldn't open his eyes. But he made his way to the biggest tree he could find, and essentially took rope from the boat and tied himself around this tree. And that's the only way he made it through. He spent the entire days, and the wind literally ripped the clothes off his body. Couldn't see because there's so much sand and water and debris. And yet he withstood this terrible storm for 24 hours. And the reason why he was able to is because he had tied himself to something that was much stronger than him. Something that was rooted and stable, something that wouldn't move. And yeah, that's what Paul is talking about. He's giving us a picture of Christian love, not just as something that we are commanded to do, but as something that we attach ourselves to. Something that we acknowledge, that we embrace, something that becomes our firm foundation when the terribleness of life pushes in. And the only thing that really does that really can do that in this life is something that goes beyond this world. If you root love in another person, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's some other person, tragedy can always take them away. Suffering can always hurt them. They're not strong enough. And so, one of the questions we have to ask as we get to the end is, what will do that? What can I lash myself to? What can I tie myself against so that when the winds of suffering and tragedy and difficulty come screaming at me, I won't be destroyed? And what Paul says is, he says, that's love, but not the way that you think is love. The love that you lash yourself to is the love that you see on the cross. That when you come to see what Jesus has done for you, when you come to see that love that is shown on the cross is for you, to you, then that becomes your foundation. That becomes the tree that you lash yourself to, that helps you deal with the wind, the rain, the storms of life. And the reason why it can do that, the reason why it is this powerful tree rooted that will protect us from suffering and from the things we will face, is we've talked about this before, is because the love that we see on the cross is a love that has already gone through tragedy. It's a love that has already gone through suffering. On the cross, Jesus faced an entire world that was against him. Jesus faced enemies much worse than any enemy we will ever face. Jesus faced the forces of Satan, all of hell pouring down on him. On the cross, Jesus even faced the wrath of God. And on the cross, Jesus gave up his life for you and me. And when you and I lash ourselves to that love, we will never experience that type of storm, that level of tragedy, that degree of suffering. We will never experience all of hell opening up. We will never experience the wrath of God pouring down on us. We will never experience the world standing against us. Because of that, when we tie ourselves to that love, and nothing that happens in our lives will cause that to shake, will cause that to move. And what Paul is talking about isn't just a love that we are supposed to exercise towards other people. He's talking about a love that we need for our lives, a love that will be our roots, a love that will be our foundation. And out of that foundation, there we find the ability to love others, because we've experienced a love that is greater than that. And so, you know, as we close, you know, one of my goals as I was kind of going through this is, I didn't want to get to the end of the sermon and have you feel like, oh, you know, now you should go out and love people. You should. But before you do that, we need to recognize the love that we have in Jesus Christ. That is the love that is our foundation. That he loved us, not because we were friends, but because we were enemies. As the entire world was against him, all of heaven and earth poured down on him. He loved us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that even though we didn't deserve it, Lord, you took the worst the world, heaven, and hell could give. Lord, you took it all in love, Lord, to redeem us and to rescue us from the condemnation that we would deserve from the Father, and from the difficulties that we could ever experience in this life. And we pray, Lord, that becomes our footing, our foundation, Lord, and that as Christians, we find ways to root our lives in that. Lord, we ask you to help us, because in the moments where we do feel like gossiping, rejoicing in the pain of others that have hurt us, when we don't want to look at our own sins, when we don't want to treat other people well because of things that they may or may not have done to us, we're simply living out of our capacity of love. We're not gazing at your love for us. We're not thinking about what you have done for us. But Lord, we ask you to reorient us to see that that's the love that we need. A love that is more than just an example, a picture of how we should live, but a love that is also a power, a motivation, Lord, to see what Christ did and then to treat others well, because we have experienced the love of Christ. And Lord, in that way, make us a church who loves, both inside the church and also outside the church, ready and able to give of ourselves, because we see a God who has given of himself, who's poured himself out for us. And Lord, as we learn to do that, may people see that we live by a different love. And we want to thank you again as we close, that we do have this love in our lives, that in Jesus Christ, we have this love that will never fade, that will never sour, that will always be our strength, our hope, and our guide, that will always help us to bear all things, to believe all things, to hope all things, and to endure all things until we are finally with our love. Thank you again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.